Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. When the Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left this earthly planet in His self-same form, from that very day, Kali, who had already partially appeared, became fully manifest to create inauspicious conditions for those who are endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. Purport. The influence of Kali can be enforced only upon those who are not fully developed in God consciousness. One can neutralize the effects of Kali by keeping oneself fully under the supreme care of the Personality of Godhead. The age of Kali ensued just after the battle of Kurukshetra, but it could not exert its influence because of the presence of the Lord. The Lord, however, left this earthly planet in His own transcendental body, and as soon as He left, the symptoms of Kali Yuga, as were envisioned by Maharaj Yudhisthira prior to Arjuna's arrival from Dwaraka, began to manifest. And Maharaj Yudhisthira rightly conjectured on the departure of the Lord from the earth. As we have already explained, the Lord left our sight, just as when the sun sets, it is out of our sight. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki. Out of our sight. Hare Krishna. So again, thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you for tolerating me. I'll try to share something with you. Krishna left the world, and as soon as Krishna left the world, Kali Yuga fully manifested. Kali was already there, but as soon as Krishna left, then Kali, full force, full license, full freedom. It kind of can be a little bit confusing, because you think like Krishna comes to the world to give light, and then the moment Krishna leaves, there's darkness. Krishna comes to the world to give knowledge, but then the moment He leaves, there's ignorance. Krishna comes to establish dharma. Dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. But then the day Krishna leaves, Krishna svadhamo pagate dharma jnana dibisaha. The day Krishna leaves, dharma also goes. That sounds a bit strange. Then what was the point of Krishna coming in the first place? If the day Krishna leaves, darkness envelops the universe again. If the day Krishna leaves, ignorance comes in again. If the day Krishna leaves, adharma comes in again. Then what was the point of Krishna coming in the first place, someone may say? Any ideas? Yes. Oh, I thought you just got the mic.
I can speculate. Okay, Srinivas Prabhu has a point.
He bowed you out.
Well, my understanding is Krishna came to show His pastimes to attract the conditioned souls back to Him. And then Lord Chaitanya came to show the way as to be, how to be a devotee of Krishna.
Krishna came to show His pastimes, and then Lord Chaitanya came later on to explain more. Yes. Well, the clue, and you're right, and the next question is, but when Krishna leaves, if ignorance comes, then that means there's no knowledge of His pastimes. So what's the hope? So the hope is given in the next part of the verse. Krishna svadhamo pagate. Krishna goes back to His own abode. Dharma jnana dibishaha. And when Krishna leaves, dharma and jnana also leave. Then what's the next line? Kalo nasta drisham esha. Therefore, all of the living entities who are in Kali Yuga and enveloped by darkness, purar narko dhuno ditaha, they get life, light, knowledge, dharma, everything they require to find spiritual happiness from? Bhagavatam. So even though Krishna leaves, the Bhagavatam stays. And in that sense, Krishna is still here. Although Kali comes in, those who are very close to Bhagavatam, they are not affected by Kali. Therefore, the verse here says, became fully manifest for those who are endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. But if one is not endowed with a poor fund of knowledge, if one has a very good fund of knowledge, because of being very close to the Bhagavatam, then Kali does not touch them. Therefore, Krishna has come again as the Bhagavatam. Sanatana Goswami says, Kali dvanto dita ditya Shri Krishna parivartita. In Kali Yuga, Krishna has come again. Yes, as Mahaprabhu. Yes, but also Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhu, as the Master Bhagavatam. So, therefore, the Shastra is our hope, is our only hope in Kali Yuga, which is full of impediments. Very difficult to practice spiritual life in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada says in one lecture. Spiritual life in Kali Yuga, very difficult proposition, Prabhupada says. Just like I was thinking the other day, the Paribhasa Sutra of the Gita, Krishna says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaisasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Engage your mind in thinking of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down before me. So you think becoming a devotee of Krishna, that's difficult. Thinking in your mind constantly of Krishna, that's difficult. Worshipping Krishna, that's also difficult. Bowing down before Krishna, that's possible. But now you come to the temple, and you come in front of Krishna, and there's a sign there saying, no bowing down. And you think like, oh my God, the one lifeline, Mam Namaskuru, the one lifeline. And even in Kali Yuga, somehow or other, by the conditions that we're living in, we can't even do that. Such a difficult age. Not so easy to practice spiritual life in this age, one may say. However, if one is very close to the Bhagavatam, then there is hope. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami says, Madeka bandhu matsangin madguru manmahadhana mannishtaraka madbhagya madananda namostute. The Bhagavatam is my friend. The Bhagavatam is my master. The Bhagavatam is my constant companion. The Bhagavatam is that thing which gives me my greatest happiness. The Bhagavatam is that thing which lifts me up. The Bhagavatam is my greatest fortune in life. The Bhagavatam is the source of all my happiness. I offer my respects to Bhagavatam. So, in our life, that is the wealth of someone's spiritual life. How much taste, connection, attraction, and love they have for Bhagavatam and the holy name. At the end of the day, what's going to count at the end of life is how much taste you have for Bhagavatam and how much taste you have for the holy name of Krishna. Because Prabhupada mentioned again and again, he mentioned from the Bhagavatam, Dharma svanustita pumsham vishvakshena kathashuya notpadayad yadiratim shrama evahi kevalam. You can do your duties perfectly in life. But if at the end of doing everything what you do in life, Vishvakshena Katha Shuya, you don't get the ruchi for Krishna Katha, Shramma Eva Hi Kevalam, it's a useless waste of time. Prabhupada says, not just a waste of time, it's a useless waste of time. Just in case you're in any doubt that what you're doing in life is valuable, Prabhupada says, if it doesn't lead to the ruchi, the rati, the attraction for Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan, then it's shrama eva hi kevalam, it's a complete waste of time. Because nothing else will matter at the end of life except this. So, The Bhagavatam is the only hope in Kali Yuga, because as soon as Krishna left, the influence of Kali came in. When Satya Yuga finished, then it said that the pillar of austerity died. When Treta Yuga finished, it said that the pillar of mercy died. And when Dwapara Yuga finished, it said that the pillar of cleanliness died. And therefore in Kali Yuga, the only pillar remaining is truthfulness. Now one may say, truthfulness in Kali Yuga? Do you think there's truthfulness in this age? In what sense is truthfulness still remaining in Kali Yuga? It doesn't seem to me to be like a very truthful age. Thomas Jefferson once said, those who don't read the newspaper are better off than those who do read the newspaper. Just as someone who doesn't know anything is closer to the truth than the person whose mind is filled up with all junk. In what sense is truth even remaining in Kali Yuga, one may ask? In the sense that Dhamna Svena Sadani Hasta Kuhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. In the sense that the Bhagavatam is still presenting the absolute truth. In the sense that the Shastra is still available. In the sense that one can access the knowledge from Krishna. And in that sense, the pillar of truthfulness is still alive in Kali Yuga because the Shastra is here. But if one doesn't have connection with Shastra, that means that even that pillar that Kali Yuga is resting on, even that is annihilated. And when that is annihilated, then Kali comes in full force. So for most 99.9% of the world, this is well and truly Kali Yuga. Of course, the devotees kind of live in the Vaikuntha bubble. Sometimes we're not aware of the Kali Yuga influence, but it's bad out there. And today I was thinking, actually, it's interesting. I'll just read this verse again, and then I'll ask you, why is very interesting that this verse turned up on this very day? Okay, I'll just read the verse again. When the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left this earthly planet in his self-same form, from that very day, Kali, who had already partially appeared, became fully manifest to create inauspicious conditions for those who are endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. When I woke up today, it occurred to me that it's very interesting this verse should come up on this day. Anyone know why? September 11th. You have a different answer, David? 9/11, yeah. 9/11. Today, 19 years ago, one of those events, which if you would think in the recent history of the universe, what event would epitomize Kali Yuga? It would probably be 9/11. Everyone remembers where they were when they heard about 9/11, isn't it? Godruma, you remember where you were? That sounds like pretty much every day for you. We could have guessed that, yeah. We all remember where we were when we heard about 9/11, 19 years ago. I was thinking, like, this is the epitome of Kali Yuga. 19 terrorists, or someone else, we'll come to that in a second. 19 individuals hijacked 2 planes, a United Airlines and American Airlines. They hijack the plane, they go into the cockpit, and then they direct 2 planes at the 2 towers of the World Trade Center. Just think for a moment what that person in the cockpit what kind of state of consciousness that person must have been in to do such a thing. I mean, can you even visualize what that would even be like? Driving a plane into a building like that. It hit the building, one plane, and then I think half an hour later, another plane hit the building, the other tower. They had strategically picked planes which were going a far distance so that there was more plane fuel inside the plane. As soon as the plane hit the building, obviously there was a destruction, infernal. Because there was so much fuel and the fire that then resulted as a result of the impact, because of so much fuel, the World Trade Center just set alight, and because of the heat, the structure couldn't take it. In 10 seconds, just think about that for a second. 10, 9, 8, I won't do the whole thing. In 10 seconds, the whole building came down. When the building came down, 3,000 people died. 3,000 people died, but think about this. 200 of those people were in the 80th or 90th or 100th floor of the building. There was a burning inferno. You're in the 100th floor of the building, and they had two choices. Stay in the building and burn alive, or jump. And you can see the footage. Many people decided to jump. This is Kali Yuga. Just in case we think that this is just, okay, this is something happening, maybe in 5,000 years later, once I'm back in Vaikuntha, all of this stuff will happen. No, it's happening now. It's happening now. The cost of that one collision in the World Trade Center was something like $300 billion. Now, sorry, I'm scaring everyone. This is very dramatic. Huh? Now, let me tell you something even more scary. In the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, it's explained in one verse. Pumsham kalikrite dosham dravya deshatma sambhavan sarvaharam chittasto bhagavan purushottama. Pumsham kali krite dosham. Kali resides in different places. Now you may say, I know that one. Yeah, meat eating, illicit sex, that, right? Okay, so that's true. But here in this verse, it's saying something slightly different. The influence of Kali resides in three places. Dravya, Desha, Atma. Dravya means objects. The influence of Kali Yuga resides in objects. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how the influence of Kali actually resides in objects? Once we used to have a brahmachari, he was like very, very placid, very, very like quiet, very subdued. But I tell you, when he got into the driver's seat, I mean, you know, the seat would go back, the window would go down, the kirtan would go up, and he would drive fast. And once I said to him, I was like, you're like one person, like normally, and when you get into the driver's seat of a car, you're like another person. He said, yeah, when I was, before I joined as a brahmachari, I used to have like a Golf GTI, lowered suspension, alloy wheels, with a couple of subwoofers in the back. you know, and he used to say, I had this thing, living the dream, he used to have on his car. So he said, sometimes, you know, when I get into the, you know, car, you know, it all comes back. I said, yeah, this is no Golf GTI, this is a Vauxhall Astra, Sankirtan vehicle, just take it easy, yeah? It's interesting, the influence of Kali resides in objects, but not just Dravya, Desha. The influence of Kali resides in places as well. But not just Dravya and Desha, Atma. The influence of Kali resides in people. And this is perhaps the most worrying thing. Now I'm sitting here on the Vyasasana and it wouldn't be appropriate for me to start speaking about conspiracy theories. But I am anyway. Without going too much in detail. But there is a conspiracy theory that the whole 9/11 was not created or was not planned and plotted by terrorists on the other side of the world. Maybe the perpetrators of 9/11 were a little closer to home. Maybe the perpetrators of 9/11 did an inside job. Maybe it's not what we think it is. Okay, so at the risk of going towards conspiracy theories, I'm just not going to get too much into that whole thing now. But if you want to read about it, you can. But don't spend too much time, because you won't come to any conclusion anyway. The fact that there can even be a conspiracy theory like this proves how twisted people must be. More worrying than the fact that there's terrorists who would do such a thing is the prospect that people would do that to their own people or whatever. You see what I'm saying? And why? Again, there's many conspiracies why they would do it, but it's all also connected to black gold. Oil. Because even Bhagavatam says, no? It all resides where money is hoarded. Then Kali comes. Amazing what could happen. Now let me tell you something even more scary. After 9/11, the government did so much expenditure in trying to curtail terrorism. They estimate that if you add up everything that the world has done in response to anti-terrorism measures, if you add it all up, you know how much money it comes to? Have a guess. How much money do you think anti-terrorism measures, how much money has been spent on anti-terrorism measures as a result of 9/11? Again, this is from a newspaper. After I said all this stuff about newspapers, I don't know if we can believe it. $6 trillion. And you know what it said in the same newspaper report? After spending $6 trillion on anti-terrorism measures after 9/11, they've concluded now that the terrorists are even stronger than they were then. Though, oh my God. They're saying the terrorists are actually stronger than they were then. And maybe one good thing about the COVID-19 pandemic is that the terrorists aren't coming out. They're saying right now that terrorist activity has reduced because even they cannot go outside of their borders because even they have to surrender to COVID-19. So we may think, oh man, I'm just waiting for the time. I'm waiting for the time for the lockdown to end, for there to be a vaccine for COVID-19. I need to like get out. I need to be free. You know, that we need to get over this difficult, dark period in the world's history. My friends, once COVID-19 passes, one more problem will come. Not one, 10. Not 10, 100. Not 100. As many as you can think about. Welcome to Kali Yuga. As soon as Krishna leaves, the influence of Kali Yuga is coming in. How should a devotee react to Kali Yuga? I've analyzed amongst the devotee community, there are different ways to react to Kali Yuga. This is my analysis. One is indifference. Have you noticed? Like some devotees are completely aloof from the whole thing. They don't watch the news. They don't look at what's going on. I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm just telling you, these are facts. So, you know, like some devotees, if you even ask them who's the US president, they would not know. They would not know. Some, because they're just completely indifferent to Kali Yuga. Whatever's going on is going on. I got my hand in my bead bag. No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm just going to tell you what's going on. One reaction to Kali Yuga is indifference. Another reaction to Kali Yuga is insecurity. You see? Some devotees are on the other extreme. They're like, you know, every moment they're checking the news, finding out what's going on, you know, like trying to figure it all out, what's happening in the world. You know, it can cause a lot of anxiety, become insecure by Kali Yuga. You know, like in COVID-19, one is the physical aspects of COVID-19, of course, that we know about. But just as acute is the mental, psychological effects of COVID-19. I was reading a report on this. Now you can see where I am on the scale. So, one response to Kali Yuga is indifference. Another response to Kali Yuga, Shishirada Gokulananda ki jai. Another response to Kali Yuga is insecurity. And then there's another response to Kali Yuga, which is to be informed. So, you can understand that's probably the way to go. If you're completely indifferent to Kali Yuga, that may not be the best way to go. Because it's important for us to know what's going on in the world and how terrible it is, to some extent. Yeah? Actually, can someone just pull up for me on Vedabase? In the 7th chapter of the 2nd canto, the final verse. We need to be somewhat informed about Kali Yuga. You may say, but why do we need to talk about all these things? It's not important. It's not required. It's not necessary. we don't need to talk about what's going on in the material energy. We're in the spiritual energy. Do we need to know what's happening in the material energy? That's all transient. That's all passing. That's all temporary. That comes and it goes. This is the answer. Do you have the verse? I think it's 53, is it? Okay, just in case. Okay, here, this is a brilliant verse from the Bhagavatam. Mayam varnayato musya ishvarasya anumodata shrinvata shradaya nityam mayayatma namuyati. If you hear the words shrinvata shradaya nityam, always hear with great faith, what you're expecting the next line to be is something like about the pastimes of Krishna. That's what you're expecting, right? Shrinvata shudaya nityam, Krishna lila, Krishna katha. That's what you're expecting. Shrinvata shudaya nityam, mayayatma namuyati. What's the translation? The Lord's activities in association with the different energies, including the material energy, should be described, appreciated, and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy. This is a powerful verse. What's being said is that if you discuss about Maya in accordance with the teachings of Krishna, then you'll get out of Maya. If you discuss about Maya without the teachings of Krishna, then you'll be in Maya. Be in no doubts about that one. But if you discuss about Maya in accordance with Krishna's teachings, then that discussion of Maya is very good because it gets you out of Maya. I'll take questions in a second. I'll just finish. Yeah, right. We should know avidya and vidya side by side. So to be completely oblivious and indifferent to Kali Yuga may not be the best way, because we have to be Krishna conscious, but we have to be Kali cautious. Be Kali cautious, don't be Kali conscious. Kali cautious, Krishna conscious. Indifference means you're Krishna conscious, but you're not Kali cautious. Therefore, the influence of Kali can come in. Insecurity means you're Kali cautious, but no Krishna consciousness. Then just worried about Maya, running away from the dog of Maya, but where will you run to? Round and round. Therefore, Kali cautious but Krishna conscious. We should be very cautious of Kali Yuga. We should be very aware. You can really take up Krishna consciousness when you are utterly disgusted by this world. You have to become utterly miserable about the prospects of happiness in this world, and then you can take up Krishna consciousness fully. You have to become utterly hopeless, and then you can open the doors to the spiritual world. And maybe I'll end on this point. The strategy of Shastra is to invoke detachment materially, and then from that platform of material detachment, spiritual attachment. Now one may say, no, spiritual attachment, material detachment comes naturally. That's true also. But let me give you an example. The material world is described in Shastra. Mam upetya punarjanma dukhalayam ashashvatam. What does Krishna say about the material world? Temporary and miserable. But what does it say later on in Shastra about the material world? Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. He says, I look at the whole Vishva, the whole material world, and I see that everywhere is a source of happiness. I think like, okay. So which one is it? I give you another example. Family life. What does Shastra say? Hitvat mapatam grihamandakupam vanam gatoya dharima shreyeta. Family life is like a deep, dark well where someone has fallen in and he's shouting or she's shouting and no one will hear. But then later on, what does it say about family life? Griheshvavi satam chapi pumsham kushalakarmanam. Beautiful. Family life is wonderful. It's where you can perform the most auspicious activities, na bandaya griha mataha, and escape all entanglement. That's interesting. Seems like two different versions there. Let me give you another example. The material body. How is the material body described in Shastra? Ashanapi kleshada ashadeha. You know the word used for the material body in Shastra? Glesha da. Da means to give. Dan, isn't it? Desperate dan. donation program. Da means to give. Klesha means misery. The literal meaning of the word body in Sanskrit, which is klesha da, the etymological meaning of the word body in Sanskrit, klesha da, literally means that thing which gives you suffering. But later on, in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, how is the body described? Durlabam manusham janma tad apya dhruvam arthadam. First Shastra described the body as kleshada, and then Shastra describes the body as arthada. Da means to give. Yeah, thank you. Good to know you're listening. Artha means benefit. So another name for the body in Shastra is arthada. That thing which gives you great benefit. Hang on, in the same book, Bhagavatam, two different names are given for the body which seem to be completely contradictory. On one hand it said kleshada, and on another hand it said arthada. So which one is it? So what Shastra is doing is telling us, the material world, if you try to enjoy it, dukhalayam ashashvatam, you will be hit left, right and center, and you'll just experience temporality, transitory existence, misery. But the moment you start looking at the world and trying to engage everything in the world in Krishna's service, vishvam purna sukhayate, then the whole world becomes a source of happiness. Family life, the moment you go in thinking, I will enjoy, I will control, I will be the king of the castle, everyone will listen to me, it will be a bed of roses. No. Then, andakupam vanogato yadharimashrayeta, then you have fallen into the deep dark well where you will be frustrated. But the moment you go into family life for service, to serve each other, to say, Krishna brought us all together, let us now serve Krishna, then kushalam karmanam na bandaya, then family life becomes wonderful. The body, if you try to use it for material enjoyment, kleshada, the body will just give you misery. But if you use this body to serve Krishna, arthada, the body gives you the greatest benefit. It gives you the opportunity to develop some love for Krishna. And from that love for Krishna, you get out of this prison house. So the strategy of Shastra is for us to realize the futility of Maya, the futility of Kali Yuga. How terrible this place we're living in is, really is. It's terrible. But at the same time, then we engage everything in Krishna's service, and then we start having a different vision of the world where we're not trying to enjoy it. We're not even trying to escape it. We're just engaging it. Karmis try to enjoy the world. Gyanis try to escape the world. And Vaishnavas just engage the world. So, yes, this is the reflection I'd like to give you today. Krishna left the world. And as soon as Krishna left the world, Kali Yuga came in. As soon as Kali Yuga came in, so many terrible things happened in the world. Today we're remembering one of those things, 9/11. Just take a moment to think about how such a terrible thing could happen. If we're in any doubts that the world is a nice place, just remember on this day, it's not. And ultimately, today we reflected on how in this Kali Yuga, ultimately, if we are not indifferent to it, at the same time we're not insecure about it, but rather we just become informed. And then being Kali cautious, we ultimately become Krishna conscious and then get out of this world. Natad bhashayate shuryo nashashanko napavaka yadgatvan anivartante tadhama paramam mama. Krishna says, my supreme abode is not illumined by the sun. Yadgatvan anivartante, once you go there, you never come back to this material world which is full of misery. So, this is our meditation on this day. That let us have a mature vision of the world and engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So, sorry, yes. Okay. Would you like to read it or you want me to read it? Okay, so this is a passage given to us.
Question and answer.
Okay, this is given to us by Prayojana Prabhu. This is question and answer with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who said, this material world is no place for a gentleman. So he was asked, why is there so much misery in this world? Saraswati Thakur replied, the Supreme Lord is saying, I have arranged so much misery, so much pain, so much trouble and danger, not to make you suffer, but to teach you that all this misery is unnecessary, so you will search for the happiness that is eternally desirable, the joy that is eternally adorable. Beautiful. Thank you. So yes, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying, all of this, they once asked Prabhupada about Maya. Prabhupada said, the job of Maya and the job of Krishna is the same. He said, how you say? The job of Krishna and the job of Maya is the same? He said, Krishna is just like a loving person who comes in front of Cyrus with two hands out and says, please come to the spiritual world. However, if we don't listen, then Maya comes round the back and gives you a good kick. You'll still come. You'll come. You're still going in the same direction, but the mode of transport is a little bit different. How do we want to go? You want to take, let Krishna take you nicely, or you want to go kicking and screaming through the school of hard knocks? First class intelligence means to learn from hearing. Second class means you have to see it. Third class means you have to experience it. And fourth class means no chance. Hare Krishna. I don't know if anyone else has any comments, questions, reflections, anything else they would like to share. Then we can. Yes. Cool.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. I have a question about who is this, the personality that is Kali.
Yeah, well, hopefully you never come face to face with him. Of course, we understand in the Vedic theology that everything is personified. Mother Earth is personified as a cow. Dharma is personified as a bull. And Kali is also personified. So we can understand that, yes, Kali is a personality, an agent of Krishna to spread the influence of this age. Just like in a year, there are seasons, and each season and environment is necessary. Some people ask, why is Kali Yuga even necessary? It's saying, why is winter necessary? Why can't we just have summer all year round? But no, the cosmos doesn't work in that way. Every season has a role. Every season has a purpose. Every season is contributing to the universal scheme of affairs. So similarly, Kali Yuga has a purpose. It's here, as Prabhupada said, because we wanted it. Because there are jivas who want a certain type of experience. Who would want to experience such things, you may say? Yeah, sometimes I also ask my same thing. But we wanted it. So Kali is the personality deputed by Krishna to spread that influence in order for this age to take place. And in that way, we can understand that at a broad level, whatever is going to happen in the world is going to happen. Because Kali is out there. It's already said in Bhagavatam in today's verse. When Krishna left, Kali came in. Full license. So Kali is out there. Can't do anything to stop it. At a broad level, whatever is going to happen in the universe is going to happen. We cannot... You know what it said about Gaur Kishore Das Babaji? It said that by the power of his chanting, some people say like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, oh, he was not a preacher, right? He was a bhajananandi. But you know, by the power of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's bhajan, it said that the full effects of Kali Yuga were being held off. That's amazing. It's like someone's just sitting there with their, not just sitting there, but someone's sitting there with their bead bag, their hand in their bead bag chanting, and just by the purity of their vibration of Krishna Nam, the whole effects of Kali Yuga are being held off. But still the effects of Kali Yuga ultimately come. So at a broad level, whatever will happen, but at a personal level, we can make a difference. Once a guru was with his disciple on the shore of an ocean and many starfishes had been washed ashore. So they were all struggling on the sand, fish out of water. That's not very nice. So the guru was going, there were thousands of starfish. So he took one starfish and he threw it back in. And then he walked a little further, he took another starfish and he threw it back in. And the disciple said to him, there's thousands of starfishes here. What difference will you make? He said, to that starfish, it will make a difference. To that one that got the causeless mercy, the kripa, it makes a big difference to that fish, for sure. So on a broad level, that Kali is out there, Kali spreads the influence of this age, it will happen on a personal level. No man is a social island, the poet Dunn says, so we can make a difference. And that's what we have to try and do. So yeah, this is my point in response to your question. Yes, is this Cyrus?
Thank you, Prabhu. Well, I'm awakened now after all that. if I was asleep. So, in the Christian tradition, in this connection, I heard a very nice statement. I believe I heard it from a Christian perspective. That so God created a suffering world to glorify Him. And yeah, I'll explain that, according to this statement. That the greatest benediction is because it's such a terrible place. So when the jiva is released from this prison house, and when he returns to his abode, that's the greatest benediction. So therefore, and that glorifies Krishna enormously. So it is said that Krishna creates this also for his glory, which, you know, it took a while for to sink in. What do you make of that statement?
The Lord creates the material world for His glory.
Everything is for His glory, ultimately.
The Lord creates the material world as an opportunity. We are not creationists in the sense that we believe God created this world. What? Of course God created this world. It's interesting, we're in a seminar with a Kandadi Prabhu. And he was saying that we're not creationists, actually. Because the original impetus behind this material world was not God. If it were God, then we'd be creationists. The original impetus behind this world was us. Therefore, man proposes, God disposes. In that sense, it's not Krishna's will to create this world. It's our will to have this opportunity. And where there's the jiva's will, as they say, where there's a will, there's a relative. No, I'm joking. Where there is our will, there Krishna provides a way. So we can say that this world is glorious in the sense that Krishna creates a perfect system by which we can become frustrated and go back. Therefore, Om Purnam Adapurnam Idam Purnat Purnam Uddachate Purnasyam Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Krishna is perfect, the jivas are perfect, and everything which comes from Krishna is perfect, including the material world, because it's perfect for its purpose. So, I don't know if we can say it's Krishna's will, but it is definitely Krishna's glory that he creates such an ingenious prison house. It's an ingenious prison house, but it's a prison house nevertheless.
Yes. But you see, it's not about nice statement. The thing is, the glory is in the deliverance.
Yeah, that's true.
That's where the glory is. And yeah. And then obviously the jiva is eternally grateful. Krishna, save me. Krishna, save me. So in a sense, it all adds up. When we save, and ultimately everyone will go home, apparently, I've been told. Everyone will go home eventually. I don't know how that will work, but Krishna knows how everything
works.
These
are inconceivable matters. Yeah. But yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, in that sense, Krishna is, yeah. Yeah, we got the chance. We got in touch with Shastra, and Krishna is pulling us out. The Shastra is the hook. And maybe Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Maya Mugda Jivere Nahi Swata Krishna Gyan Jivere Kripaya Koile Krishna Ved Puran. Krishna is looking. Maya Mugda Jivere Nahi Swata Krishna Gyan. Krishna is looking. Maya Mugda, all of these jivas are completely bewildered by Maya. Swata Krishna Gyan, they have no knowledge of what they are, who they are, where they are, nothing. Lost in space. Jivere kripaya koile Krishna ved puran. Therefore he says, let me give some kripa to the jiva. And what does he do? Krishna veda puran. He gives the Vedas, the Puranas, the Shastra. The Shastra is our only hope. This is gold dust, these books. And maybe I'll end on this point. I was walking with Mohan yesterday, we went for a walk. It was nice. And I was telling him, when I was a kid, I always loved to go to the seaside. Now, I didn't like to go to the seaside to build sandcastles. I didn't even like to go to the seaside because I could swim in the sea. I can't swim to save my life. I didn't like going there for all the normal reasons that people like going to the seaside. You know why I like going to the seaside? I was a weird kid, you can tell. I loved to play cricket. I loved to go in front of the ocean. Because at the moment I was in front of the ocean, everything came into perspective. I don't know if you ever feel like that. When the ocean is in front of you, for me, it just helped me to realize, okay, you're small, your life is pretty tiny, there's a bigger thing going on out there. And what I found is that whenever I just sat in front of the ocean, all my stress just went. Because it was almost as though life just came back into perspective. So I love to just sit in front of the ocean. And nowadays when I go to Radha Desh, I always go by ferry. Because I like to be in the middle of the ocean. So then I was telling Mohan that then I realized I need to like be at the ocean. I need to find an ocean that I can return to every single day to get me my perspective. Because I can't go south end on sea every single day. And then I realized, by Krishna's mercy, the ocean of the Shastra came. Sanatan Goswami talks about it in this terminology. Sarva Shastra Dipiyusha Sarva Vede Kasatvala. He says the Bhagavatam is the jewel from the ocean of scriptures. So the scriptures are like an ocean. And when you're in front of the Shastra, nowadays I'm like, in front of the Bhagavatam. It's like in front of the ocean. Kind of like you read it and it just gives you the perspective. And then you realize all the problems, all the difficulties, all the challenges, all the dilemmas, all the confusions, all the fears, all the insecurities, kicked out. Because Krishna Surya Sama Hoya Maya Andhakar Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhikar. Because wherever there is Krishna, there cannot be Maya. And therefore, the Bhagavatam has arisen. Purar Narko Dhunodita, the son of Krishna has risen in the form of Bhagavatam. And so, okay, I'll end on this point. I've been promising to end this class, but I will end on this point. I'm just like, you know, preaching to myself here. Apparently, Prabhupada, I think it's Dhananjaya Prabhu. Prabhupada said to Dhananjaya Prabhu that it's too late. It's too late. What do you mean, Prabhupada? He said, even if all the temples were to close, even if all the devotees were to leave, even if the whole Krishna consciousness movement would shut down, it's too late. Because the Shastra is out there. The Shastra is out there. Someone will pick it up. Someone will pick it up and start the whole thing again. Because the Shastra is the hope. Yes, Godrimapuru.
Oh. Thank you very much for the wonderful class. There's a lot of emphasis on the Shastra, and I was just wondering how the person Bhagavat fits into that.
Yeah, no, thank you. There's a lot of emphasis on Shastra. I mentioned Krishna came back as the Shastra. Krishna also came in Kali Yuga as the holy name. Kalil Karer Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Hoya Sarva Jagat Anishthar. His name. Krishna came as the holy name, and whoever takes the holy name, they are released. And it's also mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shiksha Guru Keita Jani, Krishna Rasvarup, that Krishna comes internally as the Super Soul and he manifests externally as the Vaishnav. In order to get the taste for Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan, the two manifestations of Krishna, one requires the association of a Krishna Bhakta. Without Vaishnav association, practically, we will not be able to establish that connection. Therefore, in different classes, we emphasize different things. Maybe today I emphasize the Shastra. Maybe in another class, we will emphasize and say, you don't need anything, just chant the holy name. And then in another class, we will emphasize Vaishnav Sangha. Ado Guru Padashraya. In the beginning, just surrender to Guru, surrender to a Vaishnav, then everything will come from there. And then the truth is, we need all of them. We need all of them. And the truth is, we need all the help we can get. So the Vaishnavas, but yes, thank you for raising that point. And even if we say, I'll take the Bhagavatam. Okay, like today, say for example, today I emphasize Bhagavatam. But then what does Mahaprabhu say? Jaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnaverastane. So today I emphasized read Bhagavatam, but then what does Mahaprabhu say? If you want to read Bhagavatam, sit at the feet of a Vaishnava and hear Bhagavatam. So then you have to associate with a devotee. And then when you hear from that devotee, what will he tell you or what will she tell you? Chant Hare Krishna. So somehow or other, it's all a transcendental network to destroy your material life. So let us pray that our material life gets destroyed. Complete destruction. Destructive enlightenment. There's a movement out there called destructive enlightenment. Anyway, that's a whole another story. Prabhupada came to destroy our material life. That's grace. And destroy it so that we can grasp the substance. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Thank you for your attention. Hare Krishna.